This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 196, with Leslie Juven Icare. Show notes for this episode can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 196. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean, and I'm here to give you and other passionate, dedicated moms the tools you need to bridge the gap between motherhood and living the life of your dreams. I'm also here to help you be a little more shameless every day. Because if you aren't building a life you're extraordinarily proud of, what kind of legacy are you building? So let's dive in. Leslie Juven Icare is the Chief Happiness Officer at Leslie Inc., where she coaches stressed, anxious, and overwhelmed senior managers, executives, and entrepreneurs from all over the world. Her message is happiness, and she helps leaders find their state of happiness with intuitive insight, practical advice, and simple solutions. She is also the shameless mama to her 5-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son. Leslie's background and varied experiences in life are pretty fascinating, and I had so many things I wanted to talk to her about. So she's a working mom of two. She's a female entrepreneur with 17 people on her national team. Her husband is her CEO, which she appointed him to that position. She's a psychic medium with the ability to see auras and read past lives and connect people to their loved ones who have crossed over. She's a survivor of poverty, of domestic abuse, of postpartum anxiety. She was born in the Philippines, where her mom was a sex slaver for a handful of years. So she's seen a lot of things, experienced a lot of things. She's also a certified hypnotherapist, a Reiki master teacher, and an energy therapy practitioner. But right now she works mostly with high-level entrepreneurs. So all this information, I didn't even know where to start with her. And this conversation got so good. So we started out talking mostly about her backstory, where she came from. We touched on her personal life story for sure, talking about her experience growing up with her mom as a sex worker and her being a domestic abuse survivor and how that shaped her life and her success. From there, we started talking about how to kind of quiet down in the middle of drama in your life. And you can hear from Leslie's stories that she's definitely been someone who's been through some drama, and she's learned how to quiet down in the middle of all that, whether it is in the middle of chaotic dinner time with toddlers or in the middle of work and kind of life chaos that's bigger and broader than a dinner time situation. We talked about how to stop living at a frantic pace and slow down to listen to what you really want in your own life, and how we can all be a little bit more intuitive. And then we started talking about money, and things got really interesting. Actually, I should back up. Before we talked about money, we talked about fertility, which kind of randomly came up, but we started talking about that, which was really interesting. And we even talked a little bit about where potentially maybe I subconsciously foiled my own fertility dreams. So that was a really interesting piece of the conversation. And then from there, as we got into the money conversation, I had to stop Leslie and I was like, hey, what do you think if we cut this episode and do two parts and we cut it into two? Because I want to dive a little deeper on some of this stuff, but it's going to be like way more than an hour. And she was so great and so gracious. She's like, yes, absolutely. I've booked extra time. She's like, I had a feeling this conversation might go somewhere deep. So we decided to cut this episode into two parts. So we have part one today and part two will be next Wednesday. And in part two, Leslie actually does some work with me around money and my background with money, my parents' financial situation and how that was impactful in my life, which ended up leading to me like talking about my situations and experiences in PE class, kind of random that that might be connected to money. But yeah, like so many interesting things. So this conversation was varied in so many directions, but also went really deep in a few places that I think you'll be really fascinated by. And I shared a lot in this episode and in part two that I've definitely not shared on the show before. And I did that, first of all, because I was fascinated, but also because I thought that this might be something that all of you could learn from and that might give all of you some insight. And so I hope that you learn from my story. I'm so grateful to Leslie for taking the extra time to spend on this episode, spend in this interview, to dive a little deeper with me and talk about my relationship with money and just what that looks like. And also my experiences in wanting to always be really good at everything that I do, which is kind of a shining theme in my life, which can be really cool. And it can also be really limiting, as I learned from my kind of some of my earlier life experiences. So make sure you listen to this episode and then tune in to part two next Wednesday. So next week, we talk a little bit more about the keys to cultivating wealth and a wealth mindset. We talk about the secret to making happiness a habit. And we talk about the difference between prayer and meditation. So we get even deeper on part two of this episode. I wanted to make sure to air this episode this week in particular because Leslie has three events coming up, live in-person events, if you are in the New York area. She is going to, on January 13th, be presenting on Awakening the Fearless Entrepreneur. On January 29th, she's going to be presenting on Awakening the Millionaire Mindset. So wish I was in New York at this time and could go to that. And then on January 29th, she's going to be hosting her expert-hosted fireside chat, Executive and Entrepreneurial Networking. So those are all in New York, and she's invited 10 Shameless Moms to join her for free. So if you go to shamelessmom.com, click on the show notes. So shamelessmom.com, click on episode 196. You will see links to go ahead and join Leslie at any one of these events for free. So when you listen to this episode, you're going to see the value in connecting with her and just how much she might be able to support you and help you and contribute to your 2018. And I really wanted to make sure that this episode could go live so that any of you who might be able to connect with her live in New York would have the opportunity to do so and for free. So again, go over to the show notes to grab your complimentary ticket. And now let's dive in with Leslie Juven Icare. Leslie, welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I am so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm so happy to be a part of your community.
So when you sent me your information, I was a little overwhelmed with all the great things we could potentially talk about. So this is going to be really fun.
Oh, I'm so excited. Anywhere you want to go, let's go.
Okay, perfect. So tell us a little bit more about the dynamics of your personal and professional life beyond your bio. And what are you most excited about right now?
Well, right now, Sarah, I'm so excited because this month in 2018, we're going to be launching our Work Happy Retreats in Brooklyn on January 13th and in Denver during the Outdoor Retailer Trade Show on January 24th. So that means I'm traveling a lot and we're prioritizing our marriage because my husband is the CEO of my company. And we're also raising two children together who are 3 and 5. And I guess I could say what makes me excited most is that I love really helping and taking these amazing life and business changing happiness training to professionals, especially women business leaders, and teaching them skills that my own clients have learned in one-on-one sessions with me. So I'm really excited about getting everything that I've taught and learned and spreading it out in the world.
So cool. So fun. I love that your husband is your CEO. That would never work in my household, but I'm totally intrigued by the fact that it works for you. That's so cool.
I'd have to say he is not intimidated by a strong women leader. So we have most women on our team. So he's very much comfortable of strong women.
That's very cool, very fun. My husband's a graphic designer and does all my design work, and that's enough for us to be working together.
That's fabulous.
It's funny how I know there's couples who like build businesses together and it's magic for them. And then like for me, I'm like, no, like we would just fight constantly. So I appreciate him in other ways.
Well, there was some time that he was resistant to coming on because he thought it would be that way.
Yeah.
He came into having his own expectations of what owning a business was. And then we did some work on that together. And in fact, after a certain moment, he was like, okay, I can do this. And so since then, he's been really helpful getting us globally now. So
wow.
We're really excited about it.
So cool. I do like the idea of if you work with a spouse as a business partner, I do like the idea of like, they're going to be just as motivated as you to build because it all comes back into the family. So it's not like someone who works for you who isn't as invested maybe because they don't reap the same rewards. And I think that piece could be very cool.
Well, this is the thing. Napoleon Hill said that the greatest mastermind that any family could have is within the unit of the husband and wife or the wife and wife or whatever. And it's so important to begin with that initial dynamic, because if you think about it, we're the heads of our own household, you know, like Queen of England is the head of her own household, which spans, you know, what, 177 million miles on the face of this planet. Like,
oh my gosh.
She's got a large domain, you know.
Yeah.
So thinking of that fact that I'm the leader of my own household and that we have our own domain really begins to change the dynamic that we're not just living together. We're actually creating in so many ways an estate, or dare I say, an empire.
I love that. Oh my gosh, that's so brilliant and really makes sense to any, it's like relatable to any household, not just people building businesses together.
Exactly, exactly. Whether or not you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a mom who's working or has her own business, like think of it as that you are the head of your household, co-head, mm-hmm. and that you can really build something amazing.
Right, right. I love that. That's so cool. So I want to dive into one of the things that most intrigued me about your story. You've overcome some significant personal traumas that shaped who you are today, including domestic abuse, postpartum depression, and a few other things. So share with us a little bit of that adversity that you faced and how you came out on the other side more powerful. And also working in the field of happiness, which is not something maybe one would expect for someone who has had some significant struggles and really had to build a new skill set.
Right. I could say that I'm the master of unhappiness as well. But
that could totally be the route that someone might go when faced with these kinds of obstacles. So I'm so excited to hear kind of what you went through and then how you came out the other side.
Right. Thank you. Well, let's just say none of us on earth are immune to human suffering, right? So all of us are seeking relief. We are seeking happiness. We are seeking well-being. And whatever that might be, for us, right? It's our own individual expression of that happiness, that state of happiness, I call it. And for me in my childhood, I was born in the Philippines, so I spent the first few years there. My mother was a child sex worker because she had a very large family. My grandfather, he had a stroke, so he couldn't work. It was post-war Philippines, so this was in the 80s. And the only way that they could make money to eat at that point was for my mother to be a sex worker. And so she did that for several years until she met my dad. And when they got married from the very beginning, the relationship was tumultuous. It was violent. It was abusive. And so I grew up in that. I was the principal witness of that horrifying situation. I have to say, though, that I was not alone in that. You know, there's many people like me who experienced that. But I have to say that that was one of the most formative experiences of my life. Then my parents always struggled with money. They were not lazy. They worked all the time, like many people do. It was 50, 60 hours and everything. My mom had four kids. She worked part-time on top of that, and they could never make ends meet. And so we grew up in a Habitat for Humanity home. All of our Christmas presents were from Salvation Army. I mean, talking about the charity circuit, I worked it, just not in the other way.
Yeah.
So that was some experience that I had. I worked and paid my way through college. At 18, my parents were like, okay, you're on your own now. So I did that on my own. I got a bachelor's degree, married my husband. And right before our wedding in 2008, he was laid off from his really what we thought was a safe job, and it tailspin him. And so from there, I learned to actually become a career coach and a life coach in that experience. That was 10 years ago. And I helped him successfully, as well as many professionals, advance in their career despite a negative economic climate. And then I went through postpartum depression in 2012 with my first daughter, and then some anxiety with my second child, my son. And through that, I experienced a complete life change. It was a total breakdown, because from there I learned that I was very much intuitive, that I can use my empathic abilities to help and heal people. And from there, I learned how to develop skills to actually help people out of similar situations of anxiety and depression and financial uncertainty, marital conflict, all of these things. So from there, I would say I definitely took, you know, lemons and turned them into lemonade. But I have to say that through every single adversity, which I'm sure, you know, the Shameless Mom Academy audience knows, is that you can actually turn it into something amazing. So from there, I realized that, okay, sure, maybe these things are not pretty. Maybe sometimes we feel a little shameful instead of shameless, but I really was able to harness the skills and the techniques, most importantly, to help people out of that. And from there, I think I took somebody else's story, my parents' story, the economy, and turned it into my own, and one in which I could help and empower women.
Oh my gosh, so many things to touch on here. So first of all, I love just the last thing that you just said about taking these pieces of your story and your family's story and using that as something from which you could be powerful. And I think that's definitely, that's something I talk a lot about in the show, is rewriting your story. And instead of coming from a victim standpoint, coming from a building it to be something to come from a place of power and a position of power. And that takes a lot of work. That is not easy. And you can't do that when you're in the middle of it. Like when you're in the middle of postpartum depression, or when you're living in the domestic violence situation, you can't be like, I'm a happy, powerful place. You have to, it takes some work after the fact, surviving mm-hmm. those things, to then look back with hindsight and see, okay, actually, how were parts of this experience a gift? And that takes some time to figure that out and put those pieces together. But when you can do that, it is so transformative. And like you said, some of your experiences were so formative to you because you were able to look back at them and look at how they impacted your life and allowed you to grow and push yourself and challenge yourself in different ways.
This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. And they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house, to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing, I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code Shameless at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use the code Shameless, Shameless. AquaTrue.com, code Shameless.
Absolutely. I have to say, I believe fundamentally the same values as you. In fact, that if you change your story, you can change your life, you know, and we are constantly writing it. And so we write our story based on these past things of like, oh my God, I grew up poor, or my parents abused me, or they neglected me, or whatever. And we think that that's going to be our future. But at the end of the day, especially as adults now, we have this capacity to go, okay, so what does this mean for tomorrow? And what can I do differently? And of course, we go through a situation, especially when we're children, and I see hundreds and hundreds of people in my office constantly. And we have similar stories, whether you're very, very rich and wealthy or very, very poor. We really have these stories from our childhood. And what most people want to do is process all of that. They want to understand that. They want to use it for something else. And to have a space in which that's safe is so important, because from there you feel safe in that, oh my God, this isn't a shameful experience. It's something that I can use and take from and help other people.
Right, right. Talk a little bit about, I'm completely fascinated by this on a personal level, so I'm excited to dive in. Talk a little bit about coming out of that postpartum depression experience. And you said that you started to realize that you were intuitive and empathic. And explain to people what that means and explain how you have been able to use that in your work. Well, go ahead and explain that, and I'll tell you some of my experiences, which are very Hollywood related. But I'm curious how it compares to what people see in Hollywood. So go ahead and tell us what that means and how you have been using it.
Oh, I kind of like, well, tell me yours first.
Do you want to hear mine first? I can tell you. So I have watched different shows, mediums and intuitive people, and I'm just fascinated by this idea that some people can read other people and understand their past experiences in ways that the person themselves can't understand. And so, for example, like Tyler Henry is a Hollywood medium who does a lot of work with celebrities and connects people to celebrities, to people that they have lost in their lives. So maybe someone's dad died 10 years ago and he can connect with the dead relative and connect them to the person who's still alive. So I've watched these kinds of things on TV and just been totally fascinated by it. And so when I was reading through your information about working as a medium and being intuitive and coming upon this postpartum, I was just completely fascinated about kind of how you came upon it and then also how you were able to incorporate it into your works. So that's my piece.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Oh, Tyler Henry, he's amazing. He read Ross Matthews, and I've also read Ross Matthews on his podcast. It's amazing. He did his medium with his father, actually connected Ross to his past lives. And that was so intriguing.
For our listeners, Ross Matthews is super fun and super funny. And if you are not following him and listening to his show, you should. So I wanted to interject with that.
It's a totally different genre, but my God, it's so funny. And everyone on his staff is so great. So what I can say is that being in a state of depression and feeling anxious for me was this experience of tapping into my emotions and to that very acute awareness that all of our souls have. Sometimes in other religions, they call it the super soul. If you watch Oprah, she talks about the super soul, and it's really like this consciousness. There's a difference between the mind that's racing and we can't control and we're overwhelmed because we're thinking of every worst case scenario. And then there's the part of us, like Eckhart Tolle says, that observer, that super soul, that part of us. And what I learned in that process of going through anxiety and depression was the very big difference between the two. And as I went through that, I started, you know, getting dreams from people who had passed away. I started getting visions myself. And in fact, I had spoken to a psychic many, many years ago. And during that time, and she says, you know, in the future, you're going to be reading celebrities and doing what I do. And I'm like, okay, lady, you're crazy, right? And I was like, yeah, sure. But the thing, the story started happening. And here's one freaky example. I had a dream one night of a little boy who had come to me in the dream. And he ran away. And I said, why are you running away? And he said, nobody loves me and I can't live there anymore. And the next thing you know, in the dream, there's cop cars coming and the grandmother coming to me looking for this boy. But by then he was gone. And I woke up, and the next day, in that day, my brother had called me and he says, Leslie, I got to tell you something. I said, well, what's going on? And he said, the son of my roommate, who was 16 at the time, went outside of my room and shot himself in the head. And immediately the cops and his grandmother, who my brother worked with at the time, came, and it was too late.
Oh my gosh.
So that was the very beginning of these experiences that I was getting. And in fact, the son was autistic and he felt very loner and he did not have, you know, the support system that he could have had. But needless to say, it was very tragic. And that was the beginning of this experience that I had. Now, this was just one of the things where sometimes spirits will come to me of those who, the loved ones of those who've crossed over, and they want to talk about what you're doing in your life, in your career, and fulfilling your purpose. So the content matter is a little bit different from somebody like Monica the medium or Tyler Henry. These people are coming to help you with your purpose. Are you doing what agreed to do before you were born? And that's why I focus specifically on professionals, because I use these abilities, whether it's looking at your energy, like your aura, or communicating with your loved ones, or looking at past lives and present potential, like what your current thoughts are creating for the future, and saying, okay, how is this affecting your career? How is this affecting your abundance? How is this affecting your relationship? And applying that perspective in a practical way that actually helps you to be empowered and make decisions that are aligned with your best and highest good. So needless to say, in this process, I teach people how to tap into their own intuition, because you don't need me. You don't need a medium. There's many people who think like, oh, you shouldn't see mediums and stuff. Well, I agree with that partially, because it's so important to tap into your own intuitive abilities. And depression and anxiety taught me that there's a big difference between your ego mind and that racing reel of, you know, the rat that's running on there, and the quietness within yourself. And if you can tap quietness within yourself, that's where your answers are. That's where your intuition is. And women are very strong with intuition. And I really want to empower women to tap into their intuition and help them guide themselves through their own life. Because we've seen, you know, through witch trials and all these things, a lot of people don't want women to use their intuition because it's seen as like magic and witchcraft and God knows what. But no, it's very natural and it's very good and it can help you along your path.
Oh my gosh, so fascinating. This is so interesting. When you work with women then, how do you help them awaken their fearlessness and dispel these negative thoughts and fears that hold them back in different areas of their life?
Okay, so what I was mentioning earlier and how you summarized perfectly was that we get caught up in other people's stories, right? Desperate housewives or something, right? Soap operas. And, you know, we get caught up in like the stories, right? Like, leave me alone, I'm watching my stories kind of deal. So we get caught up in our husband's story, our children's story, our neighbor's story, our parent's story. We get sucked in everybody else's story. And so when women, especially women entrepreneurs, come and see me, they're just like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed because this is happening and that's happening. And my daughter's, you know, she's stuck at home and she's not going to work or whatever. And I say, okay, put the stories to the side and let's teach you some skills, whether it's meditation or conflict management, relaxation skills, processing your emotions and your feelings on those stories to come to a very quiet, intuitive place. And from there, honestly, most of the work I do is helping women get their own answers and empowering them to figure out through an intuitive process, what's the best step on dealing with my child who's being difficult, or communicating with my husband who's ignoring me or whatever. So really getting women back to this quiet place within themselves to unlock those answers is the number one place that we got to go to get them back to that space of fearlessness.
So you talk about getting women back to this quiet place and how that is kind of in opposition of a frantic, normal pace of life for a mom. So what are some specific things that we can do to find that quiet place? Because that's challenging, especially for moms who have, like you have a 3 and a 5-year-old. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of moments in your day that are not like quiet moments where you can tap into your intuition, where it's just like, it's frantic getting from point A to point B.
Right. So here's a good example. So You know, when you have little babies and you have kids, I mean, it's almost like their lives is your life and they're like your taskmaster. And so totally. You get to do everything for them. And, you know, you're kind of like in so many ways a slave. And I was noticing that as soon as we get home at 6 o'clock, it was like you'd put a stopwatch on and it's between 6 o'clock and 8:30, 9:30. If the kids won't go to bed, you're just like, run, 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 get them fed, clean up, put the stuff away, get in the bath, you know, put on the diapers, clean the rooms. I mean, laundry,
I always joke that there's 87 steps from like dinner time to bedtime.
Exactly.
There's 80s, and no matter how you're like, maybe I can get it down to 67 tonight. Nope. It always has to be 87. Like it's so many steps.
Exactly. So I was noticing that. And then my husband and I were at the table and the kids were literally running circles around us at the table. And he's just like frantic. And all of a sudden I got quiet, very quiet. And I just noticed, oh my God, like my kids and all of this is just making me feel like I have to feel this anxious, that I have to feel so out of control, that I have to feel so powerless. And I said to Frank, do you realize that, you know, the kids are older now. If they go to bed at 9, 9:30, whatever, they'll be okay. We can sit down and have a meal, right? We don't have to like chew like we're Flash Gordon, like nom, 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 and like swallow it down. I said, you know, we can actually slow down our chewing and we can look at each other and we can have a glass of wine. Like we don't have to be so rushed. And it was in that moment, my husband's eyes got so big and he goes, you know what? You're right. I just feel so rushed. I feel like I have to be this way. I feel like I have to be so frantic. And I said, try slowing it down. Chew a little bit. Just take a glass. You don't have to like scarf down your food to run to the next bath time thing. And he did. And all of a sudden we started to enjoy being with our kids at night. So what if they excuse themselves and go play Legos in the next room while we finish our meal? It's our life. We can do it the way we want, not what some random expectation was of like the schedule. And so from that, we began to really, truly enjoy the nighttime routine. And if they jump into bed with us, okay, there's no attachment to, does it have to be this way? And from this moment, the very first thing is just begin to observe what's happening around you and notice, like, does it have to be this way? Do I have to feel this way? Most often the answer is no.
That is such a great example. And oh my gosh, we have 1 5-year-old and I feel like the evenings have gotten easier. Like we don't have quite so many steps and we also don't give him a bath every night anymore because we were like, we can take out a whole bunch of steps if we just take out bath time. So now we've changed the bath situation. He's kind of dirtier, but we don't even care, which is kind of a perfect example of what you just said, where we were like, there was a time when we did bath time every night because we were like, well, I don't know. He's like one and we don't know what else to do with him after dinner. But then there got to a point where there was like fun things we could be doing after dinner, like play a game or do a puzzle or whatever. And we were like, okay, like that takes precedence over bath. And so initially my husband and I were laughing. We were like, are we going to have the dirtiest kid ever? I was texting other girlfriends asking, I'm like, how often do your kids bathe? Like sometimes we only give Vinny a bath like once a week. And they were all like, that's totally fine. I was like, okay, cool. So
you know what? That's what happened for us over Christmas break. We were just having fun and going to friend's house. And Frank and I were like, when's the last time the kids had a bath? And we're like, 4 days ago. And we're like, oh, well, as long as their face and hands are clean and we wipe their butts really good.
Right. But I totally agree that like it allows you to slow things down and do things on your own terms. And that feels so much better. I mean, it is really easy to get wrapped up in like certain steps happening at a certain time. So the lights out can be at a certain time. And we have that around all sorts of different routines, whether it's the evening routine or the morning routine or the weekend routine. But I love that perspective that you can make it whatever you want to make it. And as long as it works for you, then let it be what it is.
This episode is supported by Mysteries About True Histories, a podcast for your kiddos. So from the creators of the hit podcast Who Smarted and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of Mysteries About True Histories, affectionately known as MATH. Every episode follows Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs, making learning cool. This podcast is perfect for ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday, each stacked with so much laughter that your kiddos won't even realize how much they're learning. I love a show where, as a parent, you're like, hey, let's listen or watch this or whatever. And your kids are thinking they're like getting extra device time or what have you. And you're like, they're learning right now. So it feels like such a big win. So I want you to go check out Mysteries About True Histories wherever you listen to podcasts. You can tune into Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you're listening to this podcast. So go check out Mysteries About True Histories to listen in and have some fun with your kid while they learn today. This episode is supported by Nutrafol. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, you are not alone. Thinning hair is normal, but it's not openly talked about, so it can feel lonely and frustrating and sometimes even embarrassing when you're going through it yourself. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about their thinning hair with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh my gosh, I am a heavy shedder. So if you are a heavy shedder, or if you are someone who's wanting to thicken your hair, I definitely want you to try out Nutrafol. I have loved using it myself, and I know multiple other people who've used it and have found great results. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. To get started, you can take their hair quiz on Nutrafol.com, which will give you a personalized health plan based on your special root causes. Nutrafol is committed to helping you identify root causes of any shedding or hair loss so that you can really start to rebuild healthy hair in a way that is customized to you. So take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SHAMELESS. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SHAMELESS. Nutrafol.com, code SHAMELESS.
Exactly. Just begin to become mindful of what's happening around you. We get so caught up in the story that, oh, I have a chaotic home and my kids don't listen to me. And it's like, just be quiet for just a minute. Watch what's actually happening. And you kind of feel like that person sitting still, like, you know, and everybody going around you at fast motion. And when you're in that position, you're like, okay, wait a minute. Like, we don't have to fight. We don't have to chew our food. 5 chews and swallow. We can slow down. And that's really the beginning of going like, okay, I can do things differently. And I don't have to conform to anybody else's standards or belief systems about how I should raise my children or raise my family.
Right, right. So how does that carry into the professional world? I love this example from personal life and family life and kid mom life. How do you help people reframe this kind, like slowing down in the professional world, especially like I'm in Seattle where it's very high tech world, very fast paced. People work long, very stressful hours. Do you have ways that you can suggest to women in the corporate world or in any profession to kind of do the same thing, to move from a frantic pace to be able to slow down and like listen to themselves and actually enjoy their work?
Perfect. I actually have a really good example. Most recently, I was with a woman and her husband, and she's getting her MBA right now, I think from UCLA, and her husband is an investment banker. So I was doing a meeting and a session with them and coaching them on how to best maximize their careers and their family life, because this guy's an investment banker. I mean, he's on all the time. And I mean, you know that expression, I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind?
Totally.
Like that, you know? And then with this couple in particular, I said to him, you know, very interestingly, it's funny because money is your occupation, but also mentally it is your occupation as well. And we are so like driven by this need that we've got to make money and we've got to survive. And if we don't, I mean, this guy, he's not broke. I mean, he's got very wealthy, right? But it's this occupation that you're owned by your job and you're owned by the survival. And I said to this couple, I said, you have to very much prioritize your family life and the enjoyment of it, and to shift your mind frame that your money is your occupation, and to really, okay, living is my occupation. And that picture that goes from just running a business or investing money or, you know, going to school or whatever to, oh, like life is my occupation. The whole picture shifts. It's not just about going to work anymore. It's about, maybe eating better, maybe prioritizing my marriage, maybe having more intimacy, maybe, you know, leading my company in a different way. So it really begins to picture a whole different type of scenario rather than going like, okay, we're here to work and we got to be professional. It's like, okay, we're living our lives here. And how do we organize ourselves within this context of really like, is my job my occupation or is my life my occupation?
Oh my gosh, that's such a powerful shift. I love that. One of the questions I ask moms a lot when I'm doing interviews, and I think it's a powerful question for any woman or any mom, is I ask about how has motherhood changed you professionally? Because I think that after we have kids, there is a sense of like a shift in what is important and the direction we want things to go. And I know that definitely happened for me, and I've heard it happen for so many people. So I think that, and I think there is more of a perspective of like building a life that you love becomes more important than like in participating in a certain kind of rat race or certain like climb in success. And, you know, you can definitely desire success and desire like climbing a corporate ladder and still be an amazing mom and still have like enjoy family life 100%. But I think that sometimes yes. why we want those things shifts and how we prioritize them or we're willing to do to get them. So like, I know for me, like I still want success. I still want like, I'm fairly ego-driven in my work, I'll be honest. But with that said, my desire to serve has gotten much, much stronger and to serve in specific ways and to serve women and moms in specific ways. Mm-hmm. And so like, it's been a matter of kind of pairing, like how can I get the success that I've always desired. And like, I've always been this nerdy straight A student who wants to do extra credit. So how can I have all that, but also be someone who like is serving the world and like building a platform and an audience in order to bring a lot of other people with me so that they can rise, you know, lift as you climb is a phrase that I love. Like, where you're lifting others as you climb whatever ladder you choose to climb. So I think that's fascinating, this idea around this shift in priorities as after we have kids and especially on a professional level. Have you experienced that? What's your experience and what do you see with other women in terms of motherhood impacting the way that we live professionally and also the way that we shift that goal in terms of making life the ultimate goal versus the profession the ultimate goal?
Oh, I think, Sarah, what you just said was so important, and I align with that so truly because your mission about really elevating women along your climb is so good, you know? It's like there's a special place in hell for women who don't help women.
Yes, I love that quote.
And it's what you just said reminds me of that because it's so important that we elevate each other. And in my work, I've got a really good story for that, but first I'll explain how being a mother has transformed me. I think the number one thing that being a mother has taught me as a professional and as a leader is emotional intelligence. Because if you can deal with and you can talk a 2-year-old or an 18-month-old off a cliff, you can talk a hysterical 300-pound man who thinks he knows everything down. So for me, like, emotional intelligence is so important. And one cute story I have is my daughter. She was watching Dexter's Laboratory. I think she was like 3 or 4 at the time. And she said she saw the little girl, the sister, lose her teddy bear. And so my daughter was like, oh no, she's crying. She's sad. And I said, well, why is the girl sad? And she said very simply and very profoundly, because she loves the teddy bear so much. Like, she just knew that the connection between the girl's sadness and that love and that loss of that love created pain. And from that moment, I go, oh my God, like, this kid is like, she's so emotionally aware that if we can tap into our children for emotional intelligence and really begin to develop our own skills, we can very much deal with unhappy customers, difficult colleagues, clients that are not collaborating with us on deadline. I mean, these are things that we can definitely learn from children. That's my number one perspective. The second one, in terms of the thing you said about making choices and having both, I do believe we can have both, but we've been so conditioned to believe that we must choose. And one story I have is in a book that I just recently wrote and I'm looking to get published. It's called The Money Formula. And in this book, there's an example of this woman. When I had her think of the word money, she immediately went to the thought, not enough, and that I have to work all the time. And that feeling she went to was this feeling of her mother when she was 3 or 4 years old, not being home. And she said, I remember being so sad and asking my dad, where's my mom? And he would try to console me. And from that moment, we learned in this situation, she learned that she had to make a choice. And so I talked to her a little bit more about some of the choices that she had made since, you know, becoming a professional. And she said that She has these acute memories in college saying to herself, either I will be extremely poor or I'll be very rich, but nothing in between, because if I'm in between, I won't be able to have children. And she did not realize this. In this pattern, she created a situation for herself in which she had three miscarriages.
Wow.
And when I said to her, do you realize in a subconscious way you created a situation in which you could not be a mother because of this belief stemming from when you were 3 and 4 that a mother could work, but she could not enjoy her family life. And because you were so determined to have a family life and now you have to work, you said, oh, I have to choose. I can't have a family life because I have to work. And because you're not very poor and because you're not very rich, you can't have children because you created that reality for yourself.
So interesting. So I'll share an example from my life that has some parallels to that. So we have had a lot of infertility issues, and some of them are tied to my husband, some tied to me. And as I've gotten older, they definitely have not gotten better. So we have our son, we have a 5-year-old, and then we went through IVF like almost 1.5 years ago, and it was not successful. And I've been thinking, and we kind of were like, when that didn't work, we were like, okay, we're done. Like, we've used a lot of resources to do that. And when we went into it, we were like, we're going to do it in this one way. If it doesn't work, like, that's the sign that we need to be done and we can move on. I did not expect that to be a devastating experience when it didn't work, because I went into it thinking, I'm good either way. We already have one child. Like, we already hit the jackpot once, won the lottery. I can totally move on regardless of the outcome of this situation. So then it didn't work. I was completely devastated, and feeling like I didn't have control over that made me suddenly decide that I really did want a second child, which leading up to it, I was like, I don't know, like, it'll be really hard if we have a second. And there's like all these reasons that I was really nervous about it. And so I've been thinking so much in this 1.5 years since that happened about how, even though we really put everything we could put at that time into that one big attempt, that I had a lot of fear wrapped up in it being successful. And so I kind of looked at it as like, whatever, I'll figure it out either way. Like, if it works, I'll figure out how to make life work with a second child. If it doesn't work, then I'm off the hook. And then when it didn't work, and it was not in my control that it didn't work, I definitely, like, there was no relief in feeling off the hook for that. And I wonder now, I've thought so much about, was there something in me that was just like, not that it was a conscious self-sabotage, but like, did it not work because I was not totally emotionally committed to it? I was definitely emotionally torn going into it. And I felt like I need to do this if I'm going to do it because of my age and the age of my eggs. But also like, if it works, I'm going to be terrified for the entire pregnancy because I don't quite know how a second child will fit into our life. So it's just been an interesting thing to think about. So that's a really fascinating example that you used of how our own beliefs can create our own realities on a very subconscious level.
Oh, yes. And you know what? It's so crazy that we're having this interview right now, because this past week I actually worked with a woman. She's a microchip infrastructure designer. It's like the architecture of like the casings for microchips. And she's an older mother. She has one child, and she did hormonal treatment to get the first one. And then they were doing IVF for the second one. And the thing was, is that when I met her, I asked her, and I didn't tell her, I asked her husband, did she lose a baby? Do you have a daughter? And he was like, yeah, we lost one. And so then I asked her about it. And she says, yes, that's true. And so I talked to her about the whole process. And from her process, was so eerily similar to yours, because she said, I had different eggs and I wanted a girl and I only chose one instead of doing the multiples. So I only chose one and it didn't work out. And I asked her, I said, why are you so afraid of having more than one child or carrying more than one child at a time? And she said, just like you. She said, I'm so afraid that I won't have the time and the resources to take care of my children, that I will be gone all the time and that I won't be able to. And if I stay home, then we won't have the resources. So I feel like I'm bringing them into a life that I won't be prepared for, or that they won't have everything that they want or need. And she said, because she grew up, you know, seeing her parents struggle and all this, she said she was just so afraid of bringing a child into that. And it was beyond what she could, quote, manage and handle. So in her situation, she readily admitted that she was very much afraid of not being prepared for this child. And in that way, that did not work out for her, that pregnancy. So it was a very emotional process with her. There was more elements to it. But I have to say, in this book that I wrote, The Money Formula, any thought like being pregnant, which is different than being a mother, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really like examining with mothers who I've worked with quite a few with infertility issues, examining what is the difference between being pregnant, getting pregnant, being a mother, those types of correlations, to examine the emotional components that are keeping us from experiencing that which our heart desires. And so when we go into that, and it's really about healing, and it's not about just having a child, it's about releasing that attachment or that hold, that loss or the unsuccess or whatever that is has on us, so we can feel free, that either way we truly feel free, and not trying to convince ourselves, oh, well, I already have one child, it's fine. You know what I mean? But really truly feeling free and happy about it. And so there is some work that I would do with you to explore those components, and on that path, heal many things that I could actually help your business, help your marriage, help your money. And it's a multifold process, but many people come in for these one specific issues, like mothers wanting to get pregnant or manage their motherhood with their careers. And then there's so many things that will be revealed in that process, which helps all the other areas of your life. So it's manifold.
Thank you so much for spending time with Leslie and me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. This was such a great conversation. And like I said, it got deep, and I needed to push pause for a second with Leslie and say, hey, do you mind doing a longer interview so we could do a part one and a part two? Because I was so fascinated by the direction and in the depth of this conversation. So definitely come back for part two next week for episode 198 next Wednesday, where we're going to dive way deeper into my own relationship with money. I will be sharing some really personal things. I will also be talking about my family's history with money, which is pretty interesting. And then Leslie will be talking about the key to cultivating wealth and a wealth mindset. She will be talking, and she tells me like specifically how to do that in my own life and some of the ways that have held me back as we kind of dive deep and examine that. She really pushed me on a few things, and definitely like I had to really think. So it's a pretty cool conversation. She will also be talking about her one secret to making happiness a habit. And she shares the difference between prayer and meditation and debunks some of the rigidity around meditation, which I really appreciate as someone who kind of struggles with the rigidity that most practitioners provide for meditation. So really great conversation coming up next Wednesday. Definitely come back and check us out then. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. I hope you learned something new. I can't wait for you to hear the rest of this interview, because I think that things get really cool and then in part two. And definitely check out Leslie's event coming up on January 13th. So go over to shamelessmom.com, click on episode 196 to get free tickets to her New York event, if you are in the New York area, coming right up this week on January 13th. And have a fabulous rest of your week. Can't wait to see you back here in a few days for the next episode of the Shameless Mom Academy. And between now and then, no matter what you do, make sure you do it shamelessly.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.